Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Fire in heaven purifies. Elijah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord and his train filled the temple. And when the coals of fire were touched his tongue, he was purged. Fire on earth burns, and fire in Hades torments. The same thing, different results in different realms. I said that to say this. In the world, when they shout, they are excited. But in the kingdom, when we shout, it's a weapon. Shout glory! He said, listen, he said, when the children of Israel shouted, he said the walls of Jericho collapsed. There is a wall going down. There's a wall going down. Shout! Praise, praise, praise the Lord. It's truly an honor to be here. I will never get tired of honoring you, sir. Your labors in the kingdom, your humility, your love, your kindness, overwhelming. You are a voice. I mean, I've been so blessed in the last few days, just interacting with you, revealed to me deeper levels of brokenness, humility, and for me, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. It's really overwhelming. But what you've done in the kingdom and to still remain like this, it's overwhelming. Can we please celebrate God's servant, Reverend Edwin Bible? Oh, overwhelming. The little we have seen, we are feeling like something. With the much you have done, you still see yourself as nothing. When we are in the kingdom as much as you, I wonder, we need encounters. Thank you so much, sir. Truly humbling, truly an honor. The Lord bless you richly in Jesus' name. And of course, the leadership of the House on the Rock, excellent. My God. I said I would mobilize my people to come and learn. Protocol, top notch. Prior. I mean, when they detail you, I say, is this SSS? Is it military intelligence? Protocol, my goodness. Choir, on another level. the pastors come to share for just 2 minutes the wealth of knowledge, the excellence, and the communication. I mean, just these people seated here can start 10 churches in 10 nations in Africa. We bless the Lord for this house, and we know it will be from glory to glory in Jesus' name. I honor every minister in the house that came from far and wide to be a part of the service. Thank you so much. God bless you richly. And I believe tonight the Lord will touch someone and create a tangible shift in your life. You know, while I got teaching throughout the conference, I tried by all means to turn your attention to what God can do within you. I know so many things that can make for change, prophetic words, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Spirit. But I don't want you to look up to me to do something in your life before I leave. I want you to understand something that you leave the conference with and you can practice. That's why I took the route I took. And tonight, we trust God to round up, and many will not just be touched, but as they leave this conference, they will become a blessing to others. If you are the one, shout the biggest amen. Lift your hands toward heaven and worship the Lord. Tonight is not a revival atmosphere. I'm trying to build concertedly, and I believe the Lord will really help us tonight. I'll just share with us for maybe 20, 25 minutes, and then we'll put our faith to work and see God do great things in our midst in the name of Jesus. Sometimes when you come for a healing service, you come with the anointing of the Spirit. Sometimes when you come for a healing service and you truly want the people to receive beyond healing, you come with truth. When they touch the anointing, they will be healed. But when they carry truth, they will not just be healed, but they will take it out to their world. And so people will not just be healed tonight. Men will rise from here and they will begin to administer healing to others in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. We'll begin from there. The Bible said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. There are three major things in that scripture, but I want to draw out an emphasis so I would not touch every other thing. The first thing you see in that scripture is that Jesus was enabled. Jesus was not working wonders just because he was Jesus. The Bible said he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. The second thing you see in that scripture is that everybody Jesus healed. And if you read the Synoptic Gospels and the Gospel of John, you will see that Jesus healed people who had accidents. Jesus healed people who were robbed. Jesus healed people who were born with sicknesses. Jesus healed people that suffered plagues. And the Bible called all of that affliction from the devil. Whether it is direct or indirect, the devil is somewhere there. And so if you deal with the devil, the issue is addressed. So he said, all that were oppressed of the devil. And the third thing you will see in that scripture is that God was with him. God was with him. But tonight, I just want to draw out the fact that the devil is behind most of the affliction of humanity. And if you understand that the devil is behind most of the affliction people go through, you will know who to fight and who to deal with in order to receive your deliverance. Most times, people focus in the wrong direction. That's why they never receive what is due unto them. The easiest way to receive what's yours is to channel your energy in the right direction. If your energy is channeled in the wrong direction, you will suffer and struggle for a long time. A point might even come, you will become offended with God. This is why a lot of people go through a lot of things. I understand the plagues that people go through. I understand some of the intricacies, unexplainable intricacies involved. But I also know that when truth is applied in context, no mystery can defile it. Because truth stands firm in every realm. There's no realm where truth can be undermined. And so tonight, before we begin to delve into the level of understanding required in order to receive our healings and our miracles, by the way, God will not just heal bodies. God will also heal your finances. I organized a healing service 2 months ago. And when I told them this, it looked like a joke. A brother left that service and in 3 days sold 3 plots of land. He was not into real estate. A connection led to a connection. Land came to him. He sold 3 in 3 days. As if that was not enough, he came to meet me in excitement and I prayed for him. And he left. 3 weeks later, they gave him 150 hectares of land to start a real estate business. I thought it was 35. He corrected me, it's 150 hectares. He began real estate business as a don in that realm. Just because something was applied. God can change your story and it will look like a joke. But people will know that this is the finger of God. And so I said that to let you know that healing is not just for your bodies. It's for every circumstance that refuses to align with God's prophetic word over your life. Everything God has said concerning you and written concerning you that is not happening and you require intervention for. When healing comes, it can affect that thing. And tonight, your bodies will not only be healed, but your circumstances will also be healed. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so it's important to channel your energy. And this is why when we began this conference, I told you what we will do for every day. The first day and the second day I taught, there were no healing testimonies as it were. The power of God was so strong, but it was channeled for different purposes. The first day I spoke, I wanted to deal with the forces that kept people in captivity. After 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you will begin to see the impact. The second day I spoke, my emphasis was on revival. And so the power of God was strong, but it was transformation and setting on fire that was taking place. Tonight, you may not even sense the anointing as you sensed it before, but you will discover that it will affect people's bodies and it will affect people's circumstances. The reason is because the power of God moves in the direction that you channel it. This is why you can see God's power moving. People are falling, but the camera guys are walking about. They are not falling. The person administering the power is not touching the camera guys. My focus is not on the cameraman. My focus is on the people that are receiving. And that's why most times, when we are done with a conference, we gather the workers and we minister to them. Because while we are ministering, the anointing is sensitive to move in the direction of our emphasis and our focus. And the same applies to your circumstance. If you don't channel the energy of God correctly, you can pray for 1 year and still be in lack. You can pray in tongues for 10 hours every day and still be sick. And you are wondering what is happening. You need understanding. The easiest way to walk into healing is understanding. And tonight, what I'll be doing in the next 25 minutes is just to open your understanding. And you will realize what you need is not more faith. What you need is not more power. What you need is simple understanding. And you will be shocked the kind of results you will record in a short period of time. You will also realize that the devil is not as powerful as he appears. That's why he carries a lot of masquerading to scare you, because he knows that he doesn't have the power he claims to have, at least as far as authority is concerned. And so there are three things I will be talking about tonight. The first thing I'll speak on tonight is the fact that you have something. Where you are seated now, you have something. This is what religion has taught us, that we have nothing. We are wretched people, helpless people, and we can do nothing. That's not what the New Testament gospel teaches. The Bible said, you are nothing without God. And as far as you are concerned, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, the Spirit of God will come into you and will be with you forever. So every day of your life, you are with God. And so long as you are with God, you have something where you are. If it doesn't occur to you that you have nothing, when the devil comes, no matter what you try, you will find yourself very helpless. Meanwhile, while you are saying you have nothing, you will think God is happy. I will show you what God says you have tonight. And as you live here with the consciousness that you carry something, you will begin to consciously effect change in your world. Number two, what I will show you again is the fact that everything responds to what you have. They may not respond to you, but they respond to what you have. And if you know how to use what you have, you will see that things will naturally respond when you apply what you have. Remember, if I carry a gun here, for example, you may not need to respond to me, but you will respond to the gun. Whether you like it or not, the gun is designed to subdue your mortal body. And so when I use that gun, whether you are happy or you are angry or you are scared, it's not a factor. The gun is not designed to respond to how you feel. The gun is designed to annihilate you. And so if I use the gun, you may not like me, you may like me. But whether you like me or not has nothing to do with the gun. The gun was designed to carry out a function and it will carry it out. So if you know what you have and you apply what you have, whether you are happy when applying it or you are not happy, it doesn't matter. So long as you apply it, you will see the change that you are looking for. We wake up in the morning, we see people healed. We come to a healing service, we see people healed. We are in the market, we see people healed. It has nothing to do with our state. It has everything to do with our understanding of what we carry and our willingness to apply it. So you need to know tonight that the devil and the circumstances you are going through were built to respond to what you carry. If it were not so, then Jesus has set you up. But Jesus is too loving to set you up. when he told you go out, demons will respond to you. He knew that they were designed to respond. When he said pray for the sick, they will recover. He knew the sickness was designed to respond. If it was not so, it would have been a big setup. Imagine if you receive the word of Jesus and you walk out and then you apply it and nothing happens. The shame is not yours. The shame is for the Jesus that you claim you are representing. And when people come, they will discredit the God you represent. And Jesus is not out to discredit himself. Number three, you need to understand that what you were sent to do is a commandment. Healing is not something you do because you like it or not. You were commanded to do it. And so if you were commanded to do it, you will realize that beyond the environment, there is something powering you. And as you align with those things, you discover changes beyond your imagination. And finally, you need to understand how to activate what you carry. If you know these four things, you can work miracles, whether you feel an anointing or you don't feel an anointing. Can I tell you something? I don't feel any anointing on me tonight. But by the time we are done, you will be shocked to see what God will do. And then you understand that light is powerful any day, anytime. In fact, it is part of the essence of light to expel darkness. He said the light shines in the darkness comprehended it not. That's the nature of light. And so the moment you carry light, darkness is sensitive enough to respond to light. You don't need to tell darkness that light has come. The presence of light is enough alarm system for darkness. And tonight, as somebody receives light, you will see the way darkness will flee from your ecosystem. So number one, you have something. You are not without any something. You carry something. And there are four things you have seated now that is responsible for miracles anywhere, anytime. Whether in the spirit or in the natural. And you are the only person that has four of them. There is no other creature in the realm of God that God has entrusted with the four things that he entrusted to you. Only man has that privilege. And I'll tell you why. The reason is because man was created in the God class. Angels have some of these things. They don't have all. Only man carries four of these things I will mention. So in the realm of God's creation, the most wealthy creatures are not angels. They are men. Angels have certain things, but men have things that only God has. The things we have, only God have them. There are certain things we have that angels have, but there are certain things we have that no angel carries. Only God has it. And the reason God did it so is because only man was created in the image of God. If you study Hebrews chapter 1, he said concerning the angels, to which of the angels did I say to at any time, thou art my begotten son? That means no angel is called the begotten of God. That means no angel carries the essence of God. But when he wanted to create man, in Genesis 1:26, he said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. So he created man in his own image. And when Jesus was resurrected, he said, go and tell the disciples and Peter, I am going to my father and your father. God asked the question. He said, which angel can call God father? Which angel can say, I am the begotten of God? Here was Jesus talking to the church. And he said, my father and your father, my God and your God. God is God to angel, but to men, he is more than God. To men, God is also father. And so the first thing you have is the life of God. Because you have the life of God, you are already above the class of angels. How come angels can work so much power? Because they understand what they carry. And they are able to deploy what they carry. You carry much more, but you don't understand it and you cannot deploy it. The day you understand what you carry and can deploy it, you will be shocked the kind of wonder that your life will become. The first thing every one of us seated here who has accepted Jesus carries is the life of God. And you know life is what determines your class. The reason you are higher than the ape is because you have the human life. The ape has the animal life. No matter how you train an ape, he can't do what you do. No matter how intelligent an ape is, an ape cannot talk. Hope you know a child of 1 year begins to talk. That means a one-year-old child is more intelligent than all the apes in the ape kingdom. Not because he's experienced, not because he's trained, but he carries a life superior to the ape life. And if you have the God life, that means the moment you have understanding, you become superior to every being in the universe. This is the power that dwells with us that we are not aware of. If a one-year-old child is superior to every ape because of the life he carries, what does a mature Christian have? He has what God has. And so he's superior to an archangel. And you may not understand this. The psalmist said, what is man? Psalm 8 from verse 4, that thou art mindful of him. He said, you made him lower than the angels. The word angels there is the word Elohim. You made him lower than the Elohim. You crowned him with glory and honor. That means the man was elevated to the God class. How can a man who has the life of God die of sickness? How can a man who has the life of God die of pains? How can a man who has the life of God die of poverty? Yes, he can, if he doesn't know how to steer that life. Because there's a way life works. If he knows how to steer that life can mortify sickness. If he knows how to steer that life can change anything that is wrong with him. The problem that man has is that he doesn't know how to activate that life. If he knew how to activate that life, he could be sick and he can talk himself out of sickness. Do you know that I can talk you into anger? Because if you are not renewed, anger is on your inside. You may come to a room excited and I can say something and provoke anger from your spirit. And this excitement you came with can be altered immediately into anger. You can come into a room excited and I can say something and provoke fear from within you. And you who came in with joy suddenly will become fearful. You can enter a room with joy. I can say something and you start crying. You were not crying when you came in. But even though you were not crying, tears was in your spirit. Even though you were not afraid, fear was in your soul. Even though you were not angry, anger was in your soul. And if it is there, I can use words to draw it out. But the good news is that for a believer, there is life in his spirit man. And the Bible said, with joy shall ye draw out waters out of the wells of salvation. Isaiah 12 verse 3. So a man who understands that he carries life, every day of his life, what does he do? He draws life. He draws life. And the more he draws life out of himself, the more everything that is death around him dies. And then you look at that man, you say, how come you are always glowing? I know how to fetch life. I have become the fountain of life because life dwells on my inside. And so when we are worshiping, when we are praying, it's not a good song. It's a channel to life. There is a dimension of life that is on your inside. Have you not noticed? You can choose the flavor of life you want to pull out of your spirit. You can start playing certain kinds of song and you become excited. You can start playing certain kinds of song and you become sensitive. All of that are flavors that are on your inside. And so when you find believers who don't know how to excavate life from their spirit, they are complaining, but the solution is with them. This is why the Bible said, Christ in you, Colossians 1, 25 and 26, it said, the hope of glory. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 to 13, it said, this is the record. It said, life is in the Son. Whoever has the Son has life. So the Christ that came into you was not a religious cliche. The Christ that came into you was an implantation of the God life. And if you know how to draw that life can choke anything that is dead in your spirit. That life can choke anything that is dead in your soul. That life can choke anything that is dead in your body. This is why we admonish believers to pray. This is why we admonish believers to study the word. This is why we admonish believers to worship. When you are doing these things, you are fetching something that is locked in your spirit man. And somebody will bubble in life. It will be so strong that it will subjugate everything that is in the spirit. Why do you think demons want to make you fear? Why do you think demons want to make you accept defeat? Because they know that you can choose to grow life or you can choose to plant death. Death is not in you because you are of God. Life is what is in you. You can grow life out of you and you can also choose to plant death on your inside. The choice is yours. You carry the life of God where you are seated now. If you know what I'm telling you, without being prayed for, you will discover that that life will pop. Most times when we come for healing service like this, we don't pray for people. As we are talking, the word of God begins to stir life. Begins to stir life. And the life is growing. After a while, they discover the growth they came with has vanished. After a while, they discover the pain is gone. After a while, they discover the fear is gone. And you'll find them celebrating. What happened? Even they don't know when they got healed. But as life was being bubbled, it came to an energy level where cancer couldn't stay. It came to an energy level where pain couldn't stay. It came to an energy level where fear couldn't stay. And suddenly, it is corroded. And they find out a new dimension has been born. You are not without something. The life of God is in you where you are now. You don't need to feel it. Are you feeling your natural life? Are you feeling your natural life? Even when you are sleeping, you are still alive. So it's not a function of feeling. It's a knowing that I have the life of God now. And if you want to master that life, you find out, what does God do? What can happen to God? And anything that cannot happen to God, you now come to yourself, because God is actually your mirror. God is your mirror. You can't see yourself anywhere else. You cannot see your reality anywhere. The only reality you resemble is God. And so when you want to look at yourself, you carry that mirror. And then as you are checking God in his word, you find out that God cannot be sick. You find out that God cannot be weak. You find out that God cannot be defeated. When you are done thanking God, you now turn to yourself and say, I cannot be sick. I cannot be defeated. I cannot be sick. I cannot be defeated. As you are saying it, it may look dry. After a while, you who was walking in your room, you now discover energy starts coming from somewhere. I cannot be sick. I cannot be defeated. And then something is charging. Something is charging. After a while, you will now go out. You thought you spoke to yourself. The person who was sick that you touched will now tell you, I've been healed. You will now discover that the life is not only for you. It can overflow. And when the light begins to overflow, if somebody says he's sick, you say, wait, I'm coming. Let me go and bubble. Let me go and bubble. See, natural things explain spiritual things. You can put water in a pot. The water will be at the middle. Start boiling it. After a while, when the water starts heating and it arrives at its boiling point, the water that didn't fill the pot will come out of the pot until it will blow the lid open. The lid will open, the water will come out. And you are wondering what happened. It's bubbling. That's how the life in you can begin to overflow. When you begin to stir it, after some time, that life can overflow into prophecy. That life can overflow into the healing anointing. That life can overflow into anything. And suddenly you discover, I am not weak as I thought. There is something on my inside. And sometimes when that life is bubbling, favor is what comes out of it. Favor. And then you step out of your room, you are so full of favor, and people are wondering, why are they always choosing you? I am bubbling something. I am bubbling something. I am bubbling something. This is how you rule in life. You are not naked. You have something. And the first thing you need to know you have is the life of God. Number two, you have the faith of God. You don't have your own faith. You have the faith of God. The same faith that created this world was what was given to you. The Bible said in Romans chapter 12 verse 3, it said, unto every one of us. These are the basics of Christianity. And when I'm teaching in a healing service, sometimes I take time to teach these basics so that you don't put your faith in a man or in something outside of you. The Bible said, unto every one of us that believe is dealt unto the measure of faith. He didn't say a measure. He said the measure. The measure is enough for everything your life will ever need. So every challenge that comes to you, there is the measure of faith that has been dealt into your spirit. If your faith has not conquered it, the problem is not a problem of faith. It's a problem of understanding. Because Jesus said, if your faith is as tiny as the grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, be thou removed. And he said, if you do not doubt, the mountain will be removed. If a grain of mustard seed can shift a mountain, what does the measure of faith represent? The measure of faith is the faith you need for a lifetime. It has already been released to you. The problem people have is that they don't think they have enough faith. Most people came for this healing service hoping that I will either call their case or that I will lay hands on them. If you know how small my own faith is, you may decide to look away from me and turn to your own faith. The reason you think when I speak you'll be healed is because you are assuming that I came with the faith of the whole world. Whereas, I just understand how my own faith works. If you know how to deploy your own faith, you will know that the one you have is already enough for you. Because the measure has already been released. You don't need more faith. You need more understanding. You need more understanding. And as I complete this teaching, somebody will have enough understanding to change this world. People think they need more faith. No. Our problem has never been a problem of faith. Our problem has always been the problem of understanding. The faith you have now is enough to change your life to a wonder. The problem is that you don't know how to deploy it. He said you have the measure of faith. Number three thing that you have now is called the fullness of the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8 verse 9, the Bible said, if you have not the Spirit, then you are not of Christ. That means everybody that is of Christ, that is born of God, has the Holy Spirit in full measure. I was listening to a man of God, and he was watching a healing service by Benny Hinn. And then the Holy Ghost was touching people and they were being healed. And while he was listening to it, the anointing of the Holy Ghost got stirred in his spirit. And he literally heard the Holy Ghost laughing. And he told the Holy Spirit, why are you so excited? The Holy Ghost now told him, I am remembering when I was doing that. And the guy said, wait, I'm not the one in the service, it's Benny Hinn. The Holy Ghost looked at him and said, I am the one in Benny Hinn. The same me who is in Benny Hinn is the same me that is in you. So when Benny Hinn was walking in that crusade, I was the one walking. And so when I saw myself walking, I was excited. You think the Holy Spirit in Benny Hinn is different from the Holy Spirit in you? You think the Holy Spirit in Paul Adefarasi is different from the Holy Spirit in you? When you are seeing men are different. But the same Holy Ghost anybody has in the world is the same Holy Ghost that you have. And if that Holy Ghost in Benny Hinn can raise the dead, the same Holy Ghost in you can raise the dead. If the Holy Ghost in Benny Hinn can heal cancer, the Holy Ghost in you can heal cancer. All you need to do is to give him access. Because the Spirit is the same. It is a mystery that it was divided into all of us, but it's the same. And even in the natural, you should have understood that possibility. If I have a song in my phone, I can Bluetooth it to 10 people. 10 people can have the same song. I still have the same song. My own has not reduced or diminished in any way. The same song in my phone is the same song that is in your phone. And if we are playing it, it will be identical. The one in my phone will not be better than the one in your phone because I transferred it to you. Because by Bluetoothing, the song is splitted and the quality is retained. When the Holy Ghost enters 100 people, all of them have the same Holy Spirit. And so what he's doing in one person, he can do in every other person. And so if you see a great man of God who shook the world by the Holy Spirit, tell yourself, I can shake this world. The fact that he shook the world is a message to you that you too can shake the world. Everything he does in one, he can do in everybody. This is why God is not concerned who was a widow. He's not concerned who was an orphan. He's not concerned who was born into a royal family. Because it's not your natural state that makes the difference. It's the Spirit that is in you that makes the difference. He can take you anywhere if you can rely on him. Every one of us full of the Holy Spirit can do anything any mortal on earth has ever done. You are not naked. You are just not aware. that you can just become the next symbol of God to your generation. Because the spirit that made one do it is the same spirit you have. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13, hear Paul speaking. He said, according as it is written, he said, they believe and have spoken, we too. Paul was talking about the prophets of old. He read the things they did, mighty things. Elijah called down fire from heaven. He heard mighty things. Joshua told the sun and the moon to stand still. And Paul said, no. It's the same spirit of faith that they had that did that action that we also have. And if they believe and spoke, we also, having the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak. And so if one man spoke and a mountain moved, I have the same spirit. If I speak, the mountain has no choice but to move. This is the understanding that Paul carried that made him change the whole world. If you don't know that what the greatest man you run to carry is what you carry, you may never look inward and draw out from the wells of salvation. You are not naked. You have the same spirit that was in Christ. You have the same spirit that was in Peter. You have the same spirit that was in Paul. You have the same spirit that is in the greatest of men that you celebrate today. It's in you. It's in you. You are not naked. You carry more than you can ever imagine. In fact, if you are not careful for a lifetime, you may not realize what you carry. Some of us is in heaven. We will be told what we carry. That while you are walking on the earth, you had the authority to raise 10 people from the dead. And then you are wondering, people from the dead? Where did I get that power from? And they will say it was always there. You never used it. This is why nobody is special. This is why nobody is exceptional. Everybody doing what they are doing is by the Spirit. And if you allow the Holy Spirit, you will be shocked. When I read the story of Catherine Kuhlman, I shook my head. I shook my head. A woman who couldn't even speak well. You could barely hear her when she's talking. She had so many issues that she could not manage a relationship. People looked at her like an outcast. Suddenly, the Holy Ghost took over and she became a spectacle to her generation. If God can use Catherine Kuhlman, God can use anybody seated here. In fact, in her own prayer, she told God, if you can use nothing, use me. Because what makes the difference is the Holy Spirit. And many people carry the Holy Spirit. They leave the Holy Spirit on their inside. They go and sit down and wait for a prophet for 3 weeks to come out and give them a handkerchief. If you will apply that commitment, you applied in going to see that prophet. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong. God sends men to men. But what I'm telling you is that same faith that you deploy to see a prophet or an apostle, if you will look inward and say, I carry something, what will break out of your life? You will be afraid of yourself. That's why the psalmist said, we were terribly and wonderfully made. Because when he began to see the propensities of man, even him was shocked. The things that dwell in man were too many. You are a strange creature. You have not just realized it. You have the life of God. You have the faith of God. And you have the spirit of God. And finally, to cap it up, you have the name of God. The name of God is like the seal that opens it up. Have you gone to an occasion before where somebody comes to represent the governor or to represent the president? When he stands up and he's talking as His Excellency, because he carries the name of God. When you go to a nation, the ambassador of that nation, hear this, is there representing the president of his country. And so in that nation, he's an excellency. The place where the ambassador stays, the embassy, is not the nation where the embassy is. The embassy of Nigeria in the United States is Nigeria, it's not US. No matter how powerful the US government is, they cannot walk into that embassy and do anything. If you are a Nigerian and you enter that embassy, the authority of the U.S. ceases. Because when you are in that embassy, you are in Nigeria. Just because somebody went there in the name of the government. When God gave you the name of Jesus, He gave you the government of heaven. And so, your house is not in Enugu. You don't understand this. Your house is in Zion.
So long as you are there with the name of God, that place becomes an embassy of heaven. If you have this consciousness, listen, the Bible said the angels of God encompass around you. Why is that so? He said the Lord shall surround you as a wall of fire. The reason is because you are God's embassy. And so when you are walking on the street, you are not walking on the street as a Christian looking for help. When you are walking on the street, you are moving as the government of heaven. Because the seal of heaven is on your life. If you knew these simple things, you will be so shocked. People say that when you go to a territory, the ground is hard. That when you go here, things, I'm a traveling minister. I have gone to many places. Last month I was in Pakistan. The English, they didn't even understand it well. All I was saying were simple things. I preached for 25 minutes and I carried the name of Jesus. I said, even if they don't, I couldn't teach any mystery there. I couldn't even allow myself to use any proper language. I just said basic things. But when I finish, whether they understand me or they don't understand me, I check into my quiver and I bring out the name of Jesus. And when I lift the name of Jesus, he has no regard for Pakistan. He has no regard for Kenya. He has no regard for Nigeria. The moment you carry it, that place becomes Zion. That place becomes the headquarters of God's government. No angel has the name of God on him. If God sends them, he can send them with his name to carry an asylum. If you study Exodus, when an angel was given the name of God to escort Israel, God told him, be careful. This one is not just an angel. My name has been given to him. He can kill you. Because anything that angel does is the government of heaven. Whereas, today, what one angel was allowed the privilege to taste is what every believer carries. And somebody is carrying the name of God and is dying. Somebody is carrying the name of God and is a victim. No! He said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and they are saved. That means the name is an embassy. It's not just a title. No, it's not a title. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. So when I'm walking, I'm not walking in a car. I'm first of all inside the name of God before I am in the car. And so the car can somersault. I know I will come out alive. No. I don't die in an accident. I don't die. I am clothed with the name of Jesus. I am wearing the name of Jesus. You think I'm in a hotel? Come to assassinate me. You will discover I'm not in a room. I'm first of all in a name before I'm in a room. Because I'm clothed by the name. This is why we move with audacity. They look at you and tell you, you are in trouble. Me? How can I be in trouble? How? You who think I'm in trouble, you are in trouble that I'm around you. Imagine somebody carrying an explosive device comes to you and you say you are in trouble. You better run for your life. If you are not in agreement with me, start running because I can detonate anything here. Somebody shout hallelujah! You are a mobile embassy because you are not just carrying a title. You are dwelling in that name. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth therein. They are saved. And you are not running in and out. No, the name of the Lord has been named upon you. The name of the Lord has been named. Did you not read about Israel? God told them, when you bless your child, say these words. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his countenance to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. And the name of the Lord be named. That's why when Israel walk through your city, better agree with them. If you fight them, your city will go down. Because they have become the mobile embassy of God. And today, we don't need it as a group. Every individual carries the name of God. You are just not aware. If you knew this, my God, your life will become a wonder. When people threaten you, they wasted their time. They don't know who you are. When they tell you you will fail, they wasted their time. When they gather around you, they wasted their time. They say, gather around him, you will scatter. Speak a word, it shall not come to pass. It shall come to naught. Speak a word, you are wasting your time. The guy is hid in Christ. He's hid in Christ, and Christ is hid in God. These are four terrible things we carry that makes us a wonder to our world. We have the life of God, we have the faith of God, we have the Spirit of God, and we have the name of God. Do you see the way Jesus used the name of God? Do you see the way the apostles used the name of Jesus? When you want to live a successful life, go and do copy and paste. Find out what they did and start doing it, and you will be shocked. Now, the second thing I'll talk about very quickly is the fact that everything responds to the name. Everything. That's how the world was designed. Everything. When you go to take paracetamol because you have headache, are you going to start trying to put your faith and say this paracetamol must work? No. It's a waste of time. You already know that the paracetamol was designed to deal with pain. So you take it and you wait for result. Because you were trained, you were taught to understand that this drug was designed to deal with pain. And so when you take it, its job is to deal with pain. So you are not trying to put your faith in paracetamol. You don't struggle with faith. What you need is understanding. When the doctor gives you, he tells you, this one is a pain reliever. You have pain on your head, go and take it. And when you take it, you wait for the pain to go. And true to it, the pain goes. This is how it works. Everything was designed to respond positively to these four things I have mentioned. I give you a few scriptures, and so you look at it very quickly. Number one, in Luke 4:39, the Bible said Jesus entered the house of Peter's mother-in-law. And he says she was oppressed with fever. That's not a spirit. That's an energy. She was oppressed with fever. And here was Jesus. She didn't talk to the woman. He said Jesus rebuked the fever. And the fever had him. He rebuked the fever. He didn't say there was a demon there. It was an energy. Imagine somebody touched electric current and is electrocuted. And then you come and you rebuke that energy to get out of his body. And the electric current reverses and comes out. Because everything has intelligence enough to respond to Jesus. And so when you carry the name of Jesus, even things hear you. And when they hear you, they obey you. The problem is that you don't know that things hear you. And so you talk carelessly. If you knew that things hear you, when you talk, you speak as one in authority. Number two, I show you another scripture. We are out of time. In Mark chapter 4 verse 39, here was Jesus in a boat with his disciples. And he said the wind came boisterous. And Jesus stood up. And Jesus rebuked the wind. How do wind hear? Because the creator that created the wind knew that there was a faculty. He put a faculty in the wind to hear. And so when you use the name of Jesus, that's why I told you, you may not feel like it. They may not respond to you, but they will respond to what you carry. When you use the name of Jesus, the wind has intelligence to decode and to discern it and to obey it. The problem is that sometimes you move from the name and you come to stand on yourself. And then you are using yourself to address the matter. You will fail. Forget about yourself and latch onto the name. If you function by the name, you will be shocked the speed with which the wind will respond. Jesus didn't stop there. He went further and told us to cast out demons. You know the word cast out? He didn't say call out demons. He didn't say rebuke demons. The word cast out, have you seen where dogs are assaulting somebody out of a vicinity before? Is to kick out, mutilate out of the place. That's what Jesus says to do to demons. If demons are so powerful, why would Jesus set you up and say, go and cast them out? Because Jesus knows. He said, in my name. Because when you are in my name, you are in a strong tower. If you are in my name, you are secluded from the forces of the demon. And so when you come in my name, He said, don't advise the demon. Don't negotiate with the demon. Kick the demon out of the person. I finished the service yesterday and there were three ladies here who were demonized. I commanded two of them. They responded immediately. The last one was trying to... I said, put my hanky on her. And I released torment upon the demon. She was there shouting, why now? Why now? Why now? Why now? I allowed her for a long time. Since you want to do drama, the ones that were reasonable, I can't. When that one was tormented long enough, I came and said, get out. I said, leave her. She walked that way and found her way. And it's gone. They are trained to hear you. The God who created them say, if you come in my name, they will obey. It's not a scammer. Jesus is not a scammer. He means what he says, and he says what he means. And if you say in my name, cast out devils, it means when you show up in his name, demons have no choice. They've already been judged. And if you come with faith in his name, you will see how helpless demons will appear before you. If that was all Jesus said, it would have been enough. But in John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said, all that I have done. In fact, before he said that, in John 21, the Bible said, of all that Jesus did, if they were written, he said, there is no volume of book in the world that can contain it. Jesus now shows up in John 14, 12, and he said, of all that I have done, verily, verily, when a Jewish man is talking to you and he says, verily, verily, it means like an oath, most assuredly. He said, greater works than all I have done shall ye do because I go to my Father. This is what the disciples discovered and they said, what? Immediately, Peter came to the place of prayer and said, when I saw Jesus, he was laying hands on the sick. These sick people are too many and I don't have time. They put them on the road. And in Acts 5:15, he said, as Peter was walking by, he said, the shadow of Peter fell upon it. Even Jesus will sit in heaven and say, wow. Wow. Why were they touching me then? Sometimes they will squeeze Jesus. They said, all men throng thee. Why were they thronging me then? Ah, I was laying hands on people. You mean, my God. Peter entered an inventive dimension. He said the shadow of Peter was healing the sick. There's no in the name of Jesus. There's no come out. There's no get out. There's no get there. Line them up. Paketo ke pakakidia. Lerevanato. And as the shadow touched them, a cripple will jump. A deaf will hear. And you say, what's happening? It looks as if they were playing with the miraculous. They mastered it. They began to use it to show the excellency of God. And when Paul heard about Peter, he said, Kai, these people don't need to come now. If your shadow is healing them, take my handkerchief to the miracle service. And Paul didn't bother to bring shadow. He sent his handkerchief. Acts 19, verse 11 and 12. He said, God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. That handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from the body of Paul. Here, what happened? He said, the handkerchief was casting out devils. How did the demons know? There was no, in the name of Jesus, come out. Nobody was talking. Does that mean the handkerchief feared this thing so much that even when a man is not talking, if it's on him, they know? And handkerchief cast out devils. Handkerchief heal the sick. That means the devil is not our problem. Our lack of understanding is our problem. Somebody will walk out of this meeting and say, I have all the faith I need. I have the name of Jesus. And from tomorrow, you start looking for where there is problem. You see somebody has a challenge. In the name of Jesus, come out. Kateka katoria parakat. And you will be amazed. I tell you, you will be amazed. A woman called me from the U.S. and said she's not been able to walk for years. And I said, the life of God is in you. Channel the life of God to your leg. She looked at me and like, what do you mean? What you talking about? What do you mean?
mean? How do I do that?
I said, well, it's not grammar. I said, channel the life of God to your leg. Because that leads me to the 13, the administration. The life of God is in you, but you need to channel it. You carry the authority of God, but you need to channel it. And I told her, tell the life that is in you, move to my leg now. Energize my leg now. Because the life responds to your words. Move to my leg now. Energize my leg now. And she said it, and I said, stand up. I didn't wait for her to think. Because I know if she starts thinking, she will short circuit the power. There is too much religion in her head. The Bible said you made the word of God of none effect by your tradition. I know if I allow her to think, she knew too many orthopedic intelligence that will affect what I was doing. I said, stand up. And immediately she jumped up and she started walking. Oh my God, I can walk. Channel the life of God. Because the power is there, but it's waiting for you to instruct it. The Bible said in Mark 11:22, it said, have the God kind of faith. It said, when you speak to this mountain, here is the problem. We are talking to God about our problem. You don't talk to God about your problem. Talk to your problem about God. You are telling God about your problem, how long it has lasted. You are wasting your time. The power is now in you. And so what you need to do is to tell your problem what is daring with. Is to tell your problem who you are and tell your problem what your God has given to you. And when you begin to do this, you will see that your problem is also intelligent. That's how he found you in the first place. There are over 7.9 billion people in the world. How did the problem find you? Because the problem has intelligence. And so now it's time for you to use his intelligence against it. So the first thing you need to know is that you don't talk to God, don't address God about your problem. Address your problem about God. And in dealing with your problem, be specific. It says, say to this mountain. Don't say every mountain in my life, go away. No, there's nothing like every mountain. If there is headache and pain, say pain, go. If there is broken bone, say broken bone, be healed. If there is a growth, say growth, be gone. Because you are addressing one thing at a time. It's not boxing the wind. Many people don't address the problem. So number one, don't talk to God about the problem. Talk to the problem. Don't talk to the to God about the problem. Talk to the problem about God. Number two, deal with the problem. Don't deal with every other thing. The problem is waiting for instruction. It came to you because the demon instructed it. Now you are going to give a counter instruction. The pain came because a demon instructed it. The growth came because a demon instructed it. Now you give the problem a counter instruction. And he said, if you give that command, then he told us the third thing. He said, don't doubt in your heart. Why do men doubt? They doubt because they think they have to do something to make it happen. Everything that needs to be done has already been done. Because when he was on the cross, that's when he was doing what ought to be done. He said he was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was upon him. By his stripes you were healed. So this is not the time to start battling with the problem. The battle was won on the cross. That's why he said it is finished. Now that it is finished, he gave you the gun. Your job is to trigger. And the way to trigger is to command the challenge to go. When you are commanding the challenge to go, take yourself out of the equation. You are not the fighter. Jesus is the conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. Jesus is the one who fight. You came to take the crown. Jesus is the one who died. You came to live. And so don't go back and start learning to fight, learning to die. You come take the trophy and walk away because the battle has already been won. This is why I say, whosoever is born of God, overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So when I approach the demon, I put my hands in the pocket and I say, get out. And the demon is saying, who are you? I say, I come in the name of the Lord. He remembers my Lord because having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public show of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So when I say Jesus, they know who I'm talking about. They know. They know him very, very well. Elohim Adonai. Hello. You don't master faith by reading. You master faith by acting. You grow in understanding by studying and by listening. But you grow in faith by acting. That's why when you put your faith to work, you grow in faith. Because you are about to be wowed. You show up and somebody has an issue with the eye. And you come, you say, in the name of Jesus, eye open. Eye doesn't open. You look again. You don't need to fear because the work is not your work. Your job is to take the trophy. And then eye doesn't open. You now come and lay your hands and say, in the name of Jesus, open. And then it opens. Wow. You now tell yourself, when I lay hands, blind eyes open. You now go to somebody else. And then you now, the person is blind. You now begin by laying your hands. You now lay hands, say, eye open. It doesn't open. But I laid hands the other time, it opened. Why is it not opening now? Okay. You now command it, it now opens. You now discover it's not whether you talk or lay hands. You now move to another level. You begin to find out. The first time I did it, I heard the Holy Ghost speak to me to lay hands. Now I heard the Holy Ghost tell me to command. So it's not about the action. It's about the voice in my spirit. You now migrate from action. You start walking with that voice. And the point comes, next time you want to go out, and then that voice will tell you, before you go out, pray in tongues for 1 hour. You now pray in tongues. When you now go out, instead of talking or laying hands, while you are yet preaching, the eyes will open. You now say, I've not even commanded the eyes. What happened? The eyes have opened. As you are now passing in the congregation, people will now fall down. I didn't touch them. What happened? You will now discover that the one making things happen is hiding on your inside. That's why when the thing happens, He wants you to give glory to Him. Because the people will see you now as the showman. But you will now tell them, wait, I thought I was a showman. But I now discovered He's the one on my inside that is doing the work. And so when you show up with confidence that He that is in you is greater than He that is in the world. And so you are not moved by what men say. You are not moved by what circumstances say. You become an actor, and your director is the Holy Ghost. Elohim Adonai. Already, I've taught you brokenness already. I've taught you self-denial. Because when these things begin to happen, if you are not careful, you will stop praying and you will still see results. If you are not careful, you will start taking the glory and you will still see results. That's why I took time to teach you the major before I talk about the minor. Dealing with sickness is the minor. Working with God is the major. And somebody here tonight will discover how easy it is to accelerate in life. You know why? Because if I talk to the deaf ear and it opens, if I talk to the blind eye and it opens, if I talk to a growth and it dematerializes, what will now happen if I talk to my destiny? That means when I want to go forward in life, all I need to do is to prophesy it. Because I can now add speed to my movement in life. I can tell myself, I am favored beyond every circumstance I get through. I can tell myself, the lines are falling onto me in pleasant places because I have a goodly heritage. I can tell myself, I flow, I soar by the winds of the Spirit. And as I'm talking it, it is being animated in the natural. Because the same power that opens the deaf ears is the same power that gives you speed in your life.
My business is failing. I can walk to the business and say, in the name of Jesus, begin to succeed. Because if cancer hears, if deafness hears, then the business too will hear. You now begin to add speed to your life by talking. Because what most of us don't know is that we are where we are today based on the things we have said. You can influence helpers to come into your life. You can cause things to work for you depending on what you have said. That's why I say life and death is in the power of the tongue. Are you ready to receive? Are you excited about receiving? Are you sure something will happen now? Give the Lord a shout! Time is gone. I will do two things now. We will do practicals. When we are done, I'm a science student. When you are taught, you do practicals. So we'll do practicals now. When we finish the practicals, in the last 3 minutes, I will now ask God to anoint some people. You know, I didn't teach about the anointing. I didn't teach about the power within. I wanted to show you the basics. As you apply it, you will be shocked. You will tell yourself, how come? Because before now, when you pray, you are praying hoping that God will answer. And so you are praying and crying. Now when you show up as one sent. You know you are the answer in motion. So you are not hoping God will answer. When you showed up, the answer came. All you need to do is to put your faith to work. So you will not bother God anymore. You can wrestle with the situation until it changes. Because now you know how it works. Are you ready to receive? Somebody shout, Jesus! Very simple. Don't worry. The atmosphere will be stirred. 4 minutes to our going. But hear this. You have a pain on your head. You have issues with your ears. Issues with your eyes. You have growth in your bodies. It's time for those things to go. Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, it's time to stop talking to God and to talk to the mountain. I command pains in the body. Get out in the name of Jesus. I command ear conditions. Be healed in the name of Jesus. I command eye conditions. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Arthritis pains. Bone conditions. Now be healed in the name of Jesus. I command growth in the body. Go in the name of Jesus. Blood conditions, be healed. Kidney conditions, liver conditions, go in the name of Jesus. Demons of infirmity, now be bound. Come out of their bodies. Come out of their bodies. Come out of their bodies. I break chains of sicknesses. I break chains of sicknesses. In the name of Jesus, be healed. I see. Ears hear. Bones go. Growth dematerialize. Blood be cleansed. Kidney, liver be healed. And I command your finances be healed in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a shout. This is why I don't know why people fake miracles. I mean, these things is God working. I was working when I was preaching. Now God is working. Because there's nothing I can do about your deaf ear. There's nothing I can do about your blind eyes.
There's nothing I can do about the growth in your body. God just told me, command, I will walk. So, when people try to fake miracles, it makes me laugh. You can't do anything about it. Just do what God says. Relax and see God works. Are you ready?
To go, the sickness has no choice but to go. It must happen. Who did this?
Jesus!
The testimonies. Growth has left some people.
Yeah.
People with ear conditions, the changes have taken place. Pains of all sorts have gone. You couldn't walk. Welcome. Stand up and walk now. You had issues with your waist, your back. It's gone already. You couldn't lift your hands. You lift it now. Some of you may even need to check it with the doctor. You know, the first miracle I saw in Pakistan was somebody that had a cyst. She wasn't sure. Because they told her she will never bear children again. She had to go to the doctor to do another scan. And the growth vanished. When she came, she couldn't talk. She was weeping. The easiest part is the healing part, because that's God's part. When I'm teaching you on transformation, you find me laboring. Now you have seen a change. Can you wave? Okay. Ah, wait. Not everybody. If you have seen a change, wave. You are God.
You are not just people. You are not just a joke. You are a breaker.
Notice the change. Can you just run out quickly? We want to use you to mock the devil. Now, you are God's spectacle. You are like God's signboard to show his faithfulness.
By this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.